Hello, you're listening to People, Pets, and Vets with Dr. Brad Miller and registered veterinary technician Angel Martin.
Hello.
Each week we bring you current events and news in the veterinary industry and share our thoughts and perspective on how they impact us and our animal hospital. We also try to give you an insight and behind-the-scenes glance at our clinic and the people in it. This centennial 100th episode is once again being brought to you by Georgia Veterinary Associates, a family of animal hospitals caring for your family pet. So I tried to find the significance of the 100th episode of things, and I pulled up some TV shows, some podcasts, and how hard it is to be, you know, committed to have that many, and do you run out of stuff to talk about, which clearly we don't, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the veterinary industry, every day is a new day, which is kind of cool. Talking with a student from UGA this past week about that, how awesome it is to have the job that we do and have such a enjoyable and yet every day, you know, different type of a job to go to. But one of the significances I noted or saw on TV shows, most TV shows have to have at least 100 episodes before they can become syndicated and start running reruns.
Oh, that's interesting.
And
it's
related to like a 20-week schedule. And I didn't really read more than that, but as I was kind of making some notes for the podcast, it makes sense because 5 days a week, right, times 20 is 100.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what that's all about. So I don't know of any podcasts that have been syndicated. Pretty sure that doesn't happen.
Well, technically, well, I don't know.
Maybe sponsored.
Sponsored? Yeah. So when we first started this podcast, I don't know, 100 episodes ago, mm-hmm. I feel like I heard that you needed to get your podcast in like the triple digits before you started getting, you know, noticed.
A lot of listeners and noticed. All right. So you mentioned when we started.
Yes.
So we are going to play a clip here in just a second. The first episode. And I have been criticized mainly by your mom for either talking too slow or too fast, or is it recorded, right?
Yeah.
So she's had all these different opinions, as I'm sure everybody else has. But go ahead, if you can, play the clip from our first episode recorded on my iPhone. What was it? Was it a 10 or was it? No, it's probably an 8.
I don't remember. Yeah.
So
it was a couple phones ago. A
couple of phones ago. So here's kind of how that started out. Back then. Hello everyone, this is the first official podcast of, what's the name of it?
We're going to call it People, Pets, and Vets.
People, Pets, and Vets. So I am Dr. Brad Miller. Joining me on this and hopefully future podcasts is Miss Angel Martin. Angel is the, what's your official title?
Technically, my official title is the patient care coordinator and the clinical operations manager.
Of Georgia Veterinary Associates. Georgia Veterinary Associates is basically a group of four privately owned animal hospitals in the metro Atlanta area. We have locations in Decatur, Lawrenceville, Buford, and Johns Creek. Okay, so that was pretty painful to listen to.
I was going
to
say, yeah, my descriptive word would be painful as well.
So we are. I don't know if we've come very far or not. I feel like we have.
I feel like
as far as our broadcasting abilities and capabilities.
Well, what I think is interesting.
But I was talking so slow.
Yes.
And distinctly.
But you also made it seem like that I wouldn't be on future podcasts with you.
Well, I didn't know.
As if, like.
I didn't even know what your job title was, obviously.
Apparently not.
So.
And here I was thinking I was like the think tank here for the podcast.
Yeah,
and you were like, oh, she might not come
back.
The
co-star or maybe the star. And I'm like, maybe she will, maybe she won't. So, all right. So let's touch on just a real briefly. Favorite thoughts or moments over the past 100 episodes. You mentioned on that first episode, I was talking about catching a horny toad out in West Texas and keeping it in a coffee can.
We talked about your weirdest pet you've ever owned.
Yep. So that was kind of cool. One of my favorite news stories and it happened again, I think, this past year, was down in Florida when the temperature gets so cold, the frogs start falling out of trees.
Yeah, and I think we've talked about that a couple of times.
I thought that was a really, really corny, kind of crazy story. We've tried Word of the Week, Case of the Week. We still kind of do that. Remember when we were doing Sound of the Week, we would take, you know, like a pen.
Yes.
And people would try to guess that. And so that quickly... I don't know.
It faded out.
Became a little boring, I guess. Yeah. But I guess, you know, one of my favorite aspects of what we're doing is getting feedback from our family members who listen, from our clients, our listeners, our vendors and drug reps. Mm-hmm. That's probably the most rewarding thing to me. How about you?
No, I think it's fun. I don't know. I still get up, you know, every weekend and I come in on my off day and I record this podcast with you. I don't know. I think it's fun. I think it's an outlet. I don't know what's most rewarding about it. It sounds kind of silly when I talk about it out loud, but I don't know. I think it's an interesting way for us to just talk about
things. Yeah,
and we're
a little unique, in my opinion, in the veterinary podcast industry,
world, yeah.
Circle ring, in that we don't have this big agenda. We're not bringing in a professor from the University of Tennessee to discuss nutrition.
Right.
Maybe we should, but I think that's out there. We're not interviewing, you know, leaders in the industry. We don't really have an agenda other than just to kind of talk about maybe what happened last week, what we do on a daily basis, and try to educate our clients, again, family, friends, people listening, just kind of what it's like to be in our position. So
the thought that people might find that interesting is kind of funny to me, but
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's always like, have you ever driven by a house and you're like, oh, I wonder what the inside of that house looks like?
Yeah.
It's kind of like hopefully we're giving people a glimpse of the inside of our worlds, industry, veterinary medicine specific, and honestly, sometimes not, right? Because we joke about having weather and sports and where you're going to vacation and this and that and the other. So, I don't know. I want to appreciate everyone who's ever listened to even just one episode.
I mean, I'm sure it's painful at times, and my apologies for that when we go off on tangents.
I think you're listening on two times at least.
Yeah. So anyway, all right. So it is beautiful once again in Lawrenceville, Georgia. We've talked many a times about the reasons that we are in this location because it's a beautiful place. There's things to do. There's Atlanta. There's the North Georgia Mountains. There's Lake Lanier. There's the beach not too far. So I am really looking forward to when the world opens back up, more specifically Georgia and the U.S., for us to get back to normalcy. And I think it's kind of interesting that we're already hearing about how everything's just all of a sudden going to be back to normal after this magical vaccine because people feel safer.
Mm-hmm.
So it remains to be seen what that looks like, what that transition looks like, not only in our animal hospital, in our metro Atlanta area, in our state, you know, in the U.S. And so I think it's going to kind of be a 6-month transition period, but hopefully in roughly that time period, I would predict, we're going to be a lot more back to normal than we have been in the last, I mean, literally, we're almost 12 months from when March Madness got canceled, and it's just right to the day. So with that said, I do have a word for the week, and the word is agenesis. I always have to ask, have we talked about this before? Because my words of the week come from clinical cases.
I feel like we probably have, because I feel like we've almost exhausted all of the eye topics. However, I heard Dr. Reese talk about a meibomian gland with someone. I was like, oh, dang, that would be a great word of the week. But I do also feel like we maybe have had meibomian. But let's talk about agenesis.
What is meibomian, now that you bring it up?
Well, it's a gland in the eye that secretes, I don't know, it's not tears, right? It's an oil of some sort.
Yeah, it's kind of like a sebum type of material. But it's what gets, if you as a person get a sty in your eye, which mm-hmm. is on the margin of your eyelid, that's a meibomian gland, meibomian, I think, that gets occluded and swells up. So she's going to look it up to check me on that.
I was just going to check the spelling if you wanted me to.
So agenesis, A meaning not, genesis meaning form, developed, origin. And so basically it means a lack or failure of development as related to a body part in this instance. And so eyelid agenesis We do a lot of work with a rescue organization locally in the Atlanta area, and it's Fur Kids. And so they do a lot of really great things, and they rehome and rehabilitate many, many animals. It's in the multiple thousands per year.
Yeah.
Typically over 3,000. I have not talked to Sam in a while, actually, so I have no idea what they did in 2020 as far as numbers. But probably 7 to 10 years ago, we saw a couple of cats back-to-back from them, and they had eyelid agenesis, and we had never seen that before.
Well, these all cats were from the same litter, right? Or at least they were the same age. At least
same
I feel
age,
like they
yeah.
were.
And so clinically what happened, or not clinically, I guess visually what happens, they are missing a normal upper eyelid, and it's typically half to two-thirds of the normal upper eyelid does not develop and give you that margin. And so it really messes with the skin in the area and the hairs growing in and the exposure of their eye to where they have severe problems.
Well, yeah, because they're not able to blink.
Yeah, they can't
not able
blink,
to
and then
eye.
Hairs start rubbing onto the cornea, causing either ulcers or irritation, and then they just don't look right. And so we have tried over the years with many of those patients cryotherapy, which is freezing the hair at the hair follicle level to try to prevent hair from growing onto the cornea. But we still have those problems of exposure and the inability to blink. So
sure.
A few years ago, we started repairing these with kind of a skin graft technique. And we have Patch, right? Not Patches. Patch is currently here that we've been working with cryotherapy for years. And we just last Thursday, I believe, did both of her eyelids to repair. And she is looking good. And so Natalie, one of our techs, took pictures before, a little bit of during, and after.
Mm-hmm.
And so I will have her send that to myself and maybe your sister Rhonda, and we can push that out on Instagram. But it's just kind of a cool thing. And these cats, once we do this reconstructive procedure, they don't look 100% normal, whatever that means, but they're pretty darn close.
Yeah, they look a lot better than they did. Typically, I mean, as you mentioned, like this cat, you're going to see some corneal ulcer, some scarring on the cornea as well. Do you know if Patch is actually, is he visual? She visual?
She is visual. Her left eye is in pretty good shape. Her right eye has quite a bit of pigmentary keratitis, black pigment on the cornea that's been inflamed, again, due to the exposure and the chronic irritation. So I looked at her yesterday when I swung through. And she, I hope her owner is going to be super happy because she looks like visually looks like a completely different cat.
Aww.
So I have high expectations for her.
Cool. She's expected to live a normal, healthy life after this, yeah?
Yes.
I mean, she was living a normal life anyways, aside from the issues with her eyelid.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool.
I know you have a story about veterinarians that we will get into, but before we do that, kind of speaking to the Healthy Pet, Happy Life segment, I went to Tractor Supply this morning, had to pick up a couple of things for the backyard, and I noticed the sandwich board out front that talks about come here in a couple of Saturdays from 4 to 5:30 to get your pet vaccinated. And I went in, bought what I needed to buy. On the way out, I picked up one of their brochures and kind of looked at the packages that they are offering or recommending or selling, and anywhere between $67 and $87 were the package prices. And they basically were a core vaccine, maybe Bordetella, and then maybe they would throw something else in. You could get a heartworm test or you could not. You could get a fecal parasite test or you could not. But that's what was recommended. So we have talked in episodes past. There are places like Tractor Supply, Walmart is now getting into it, AutoZone. So I would compare like Tractor Supply to what's going on at AutoZone's and Walgreens, to where a third party veterinary quote unquote group comes in and offers to provide these reduced cost vaccines. So we used to really kind of talk trash about that and that model, but we have said in the past that veterinary medicine and veterinary care means different things to different people. And so on one hand, if a client cannot afford to come to a full-service animal hospital and get the basic vaccines and what we would recommend for their pet, this is an option, right? So even though it's not the best option, at least we're getting some vaccines in these pets.
Yeah.
So that's the good. But the negative is it's kind of like when you go to a pet store that starts with the letter P and ends in Mart, and you buy a food because of the boy stocking the shelves who's 17 years old convinced you that it's the best food to feed your pet.
Right.
Right. So it's better than nothing. You're feeding your pet, but maybe you're not taking the best recommendation. So I guess that's my whole point is these places are okay for core vaccines, but realize as a pet owner, there are a lot of things that we would try to individually discuss with you based on you and your pet's lifestyle that might be very, very important, such as heartworm testing and monthly prevention, or fecal parasite testing and monthly prevention, amongst other vaccines. Okay, so did I leave anything out? Just kind of general discussion, but
no, I don't
it just
think
kind
so.
Of hit me in the face this morning going into Tractor Supply.
Yeah, it's always super interesting, but yet there needs to be a market so that everyone can get veterinary care.
Correct. We have Dollar General stores, we have Nordstrom stores,
right.
We have Tarte, we have all these different choices, and so, you know, the older they get, the older I get, the more I guess the more opinionated I get, but the more I see there are a lot of choices out in the world.
Yeah,
so.
The only heartbreaking thing to me, I think, is that the stigma that goes with going to the veterinary practice, right? And so I feel like I've said this before, but I think that there still is this thought by the general public that if you go to your vet, they're going to rip you off. And so these people go to these places, pop-up stands, if you will, for vaccines, it seems their perception is that it's very transparent, right? You get three shots, they're equal $80.
Advertised price, and this is what it is, yeah.
Whereas, veterinary practices, we don't typically advertise our pricing like that, and not that it's a secret, and we certainly don't change it, because you drive a Mercedes and you drive a, Ford pickup. But I think that's the perception a little bit.
Yeah.
And so that's what I think is super heartbreaking.
Yeah. But you attract the type of clientele in a veterinary practice that agrees with your mindset.
Of course. Yes.
And then, we're not battling. We're not, arguing over this, that, or the other. And it becomes a very nice relationship. Yes. And that's true. Whether you go get your hair cut, by the same person, or you go to a dentist, or you go to your family doctor. So, I don't know. A lot of choices, and we do what we do here very, very well. And we would not operate in another animal hospital very well because we wouldn't jive and have the same culture and the same mindset. So,
right, for sure.
So we're going to go from healthy pet, happy life to kind of what's been in the news of late, but also veterinary suicide has been in the news in our industry, really at the forefront of many people's thoughts and I guess potential actions for the last
probably seven-ish.
I was going to say 3 to 5. You could be right. Probably 5 years maybe is the middle of the road guess here.
Sophia Yen committed suicide in 2014, and I really think that's okay. The catapult.
I would agree with that. If that's when she committed suicide, that I would agree. So this is going to be a little bit of a sensitive subject, and you and I agree, but we disagree on some aspects and feel a little bit differently, and that's okay. But,
right.
I'm going to title this discussion Healthy Self, Happy Life.
Yeah, self-care. Hands down, I would agree with you.
That's what's out there. So there, with social media, the minute something happens, it is disseminated within 12 to 24 hours. And that's what happened recently. A veterinarian in Alabama evidently committed suicide.
Well,
and all of our...
The topics are that he died.
Okay.
And the assumption is suicide.
Okay, so we don't know for
So yeah,
a fact.
None of the reports have come out with that. I think that's the assumption, and that's part of I think my not really issue, but my soapbox. Like I want to stand up on a soapbox and say that, there's more two veterinarians' life than their job or your veterinary technician or that kind of thing. So, yeah, sorry to cut you off. But, yeah, the perception is that he or the assumption is that he committed suicide, but okay. Nothing has actually stated that.
Okay.
But, yeah, go back to what you were saying about social media there with our staff.
Well, it's good and bad. I mean, social media was good and bad with COVID. You know, I still feel like the numbers were elevated and we didn't hear the complete story with all these deaths that were supposedly COVID early on. What was the test truly positive or not? You know, what were those circumstances? And so this is completely different, but you informed me about this story this morning. I've not even heard about it because I'm not really on Facebook or some of the platforms that you and our staff are on. But our staff is putting messages, you know, back into the social media arena, giving an opinion on what happened and maybe why it happened and maybe what to do. Which is fine because they are entitled to their opinion. But
absolutely. And I want them to have an outlet. You know, I want them to feel like they're not alone and that their voice is heard.
But realize that everything, technology-wise, what we have today is great. And I don't want to do without it, but we need to take a lot of this stuff with a grain of salt.
Absolutely. So like you said, with the whole COVID situation, right? Like I found myself last March kind of confused, right? So actually probably not March, more like July. In March, it was a very black and white situation, right? 14 days to mitigate the spread or slow the spread and that kind of thing.
Yes.
And then suddenly, you know, you hear contraindicating topics and to your point, everything is at you every second of every day. You don't know what to believe. And so you're stuck in this whirlwind. And then finally you just, what I did is I shut it off.
Yeah.
You know, like I stopped watching the news. I stopped dialing into
you
the
believe
task force.
What's in front of you. Right. Yeah. So, quick short story. Someone in my family was looking for a vehicle, a specific type of vehicle, and they found it on the internet and they were like, ha, proved you wrong. I can find this. And lo and behold, they thought that vehicle was available now, but that vehicle's not been made for over 15 years, you know? And so it is really easy to believe what's in front of you, and you're so influenced by that. But sometimes you need to take a step back and take a deep breath and really consider all the factors I'm going off on a whole different storyline here, but, let's talk about suicide. So when I graduated from vet school way back when, the number one industry we were told committed suicide was dentist. And it was because they were professionals. They were highly stressed. They had all these business stresses. They had their clients who were being mean to them. They were only working in somebody's mouth all day. There were all of these excuses. And so I've not heard about that in 20 years. But now we're talking about veterinarians and, you know, why are we so stressed? Well, we are a profession just like a dentist, a doctor, a pilot, a hair cutter.
Yeah, but right?
So we're professionals. And so there is stress because of what we do. But my point is veterinarians are not the only professionals under stress.
They're not. And I don't think necessarily a professional, quote unquote, a licensed professional, a medical doctor, basically is what you've lumped all of those in, healthcare professionals. I don't think they're the only people at risk either, right? So what about your farmer who can't get his crops to grow?
Sure.
You know, so
good point. Licensed professional is where I was going. A plumber has to be licensed.
Yeah. So let's go back, you know, to kind of where this all started or where it all started for me yesterday and kind of the rabbit hole that I chased. So yesterday morning, I pop up, open Facebook, and I start seeing our staff members sharing and commenting on that veterinarian you're talking about, Dr. King in Alabama, who
potentially,
their hospital posted something basically like, we regret to inform the public that Dr. King is no longer with us. Please respect the family's privacy, this and that and the other. It never said actually suicide and that kind of thing. So I started noticing that our staff was commenting on it as well. And so I asked one of them directly. I was like, kind of a silly question, but how do you guys know him? And the comment back to me was that we don't. We're just somewhat.
It's just on everybody's feed.
Yeah, it's just in. It's plastered everywhere. It's in every vet tech, vet med, you know, group on Facebook, From Here to Kingdom Come. So I started looking into it a little bit more, and what I keep seeing, and this is where I totally realize I'm not going to have the public's opinion here, and that's fine. I can take it. But everyone is pointing at our clients. Your clients are being mean to you. Your clients are bullying you. Your clients are telling you that you're in this for, you know, if you love pets, you'll do this for free. I definitely get how that's a stressor, but I don't think that's the problem.
I agree. That is not the problem. That is not the only problem. It is a contributing factor, but we have stresses in our life. No matter who you are or what you do, you have stresses.
Right.
So you're a mom who has a child who is an infant, and now you've got to go back to work. It's super stressful to leave your kid.
Sure.
With, you know, whether it's a caregiver, family member, et cetera. So the clients that we see here, fortunately, are usually very compliant and nice and appreciate what we do. Mm-hmm. But we're always going to have a client that's going to pop up that doesn't really fit well with our practice. And so those one-offs really do stick out, and they can really affect you as a veterinarian or technician or receptionist, you know, whatever your position is. But ultimately, you have to be responsible for yourself. And so,
agreed.
Is that, I mean,
we agree there. So that's kind of where I'm going. So let's talk about some of the other comments that are being made then. So euthanasia and how veterinarians, yep, and the staff have to deal with euthanasia.
For us to deal with this.
And, you know, one of the comments are that they have to euthanize healthy or treatable animals.
And that's rarely true.
So again, I feel like, not that suicide is not a real problem. It is.
It is.
But my point in saying all of this is that stop blame shifting, I guess. Take
responsibility.
Stop blaming it on the industry. It's not the industry's fault.
Right. It's the individuals in the industry's fault.
Yes, absolutely. And that's kind of where I go. So you mentioned the word self-care earlier. I think that's really, really the big thing there. When I went to tech school, I didn't go through a psych evaluation. They didn't ask me anything about my personal life or my thoughts or feelings. I'm sure you guys don't do that in vet school either. Maybe since 2014, they're doing that now, but I would bet not. So, you know, another blame is that the debt that these students graduate with, everyone's in debt, right? So even if you don't go to school, you buy a house, you buy a car, that's debt.
Right. Finances are always very stressful, no matter what the situation. So I agree.
There's all these things. But I think you have to be very in tune with yourself and with your body.
Right.
And that's something that we don't really do. And again, we're outward pushing all of this responsibility. Like, oh, it's the clients that beat me up. It's the school that I went to that cost too much money. It's my boss who doesn't pay me enough to pay for my bills.
But all these things are your choice. Right.
I mean, of course.
You chose to go into this profession.
Of course.
So own it and be responsible. And if you can't do that on your own and you start going to maybe a dark place, a depressed place, there are avenues that you can, or resources that you can use to kind of help. You know, you could either change careers. You could, like with us here at our practices, we do have an EAP, an employee assistance program.
Mm-hmm.
All of our employees can call our PEO and discuss any issues they're having mentally, physically, financially, and try to get some help. And so the veterinary profession is more aware, so they are more self-aware that self-care is necessary. And people, Merck comes to mind, Merck Animal Health, they definitely have worked this conversation into most of their presentations, that they have resources.
Mm-hmm.
They have statistics that you can look at and see. But I agree. You know, it's not, veterinarians are not committing suicide because of 1, 2, 3, 18, you know, clients who are quote unquote being mean girls to them. That's not the reason. It is part of it.
Sure. It definitely adds to the stresses.
But, you know, fire those clients as a veterinarian, convert them to your way of thinking, do what you do best, and usually things will be okay. And if for some reason it's just not the profession for you to be in, whether you're a veterinary assistant or technician, if you can't handle the fact that, yes, we do euthanize dogs, euthanasia means good death. Let's put a positive spin on it. We're doing this for the right reason.
You're saying all the same things, I think.
I don't want to hear, and I've had doctors within the last 24 months tell me, like, oh, my day was so horrible, I had to euthanize 3 pets. Here's number 4. And we have the discussion, like, okay, well, why are we euthanizing them? And in the end, we decide that it's a good death situation, and it's the best thing for the pets, the best thing for the client. So put a positive spin on it, turn that frown upside down,
sure,
and let's move forward. But I will reiterate, if you are in a bad situation, a bad profession, it's a bad job, you and only you are completely responsible for changing all of that.
So, but I think two things here, right? Well, I mean, lots of things. So social media is a negative. Let's just put it out there. For the most part, it's only going to highlight either the super drastic, sad things or the most positive highlights of people's life. There's no of the normal, like, you're a normal person because you woke up and brushed your teeth today. That's not going to be on social media. So if you are the type of person that realizes that, you start to compare yourself, or you're not having as many good days as the other people that you're following, you need to learn to cut social media out of your life. So with all of that and with what you said, the word control comes to mind. You are in control. There are support groups out there. Not One More Vet is a support group that's started by a veterinarian in California back in 2014. She actually won the American Humane Hero Vet Award back in 2017, Nicole MacArthur. So there are those things, as you mentioned, you know, for our clients or our staff specifically, we have an employee assistance program, but there's a lot of things out there. And then to your point also, like,
really good points, evidently.
You did. Finding some of the positives in a bad situation. So another one of the comments that I keep seeing all over Facebook is that it's not just all puppies and kittens here. No, but we do get a lot of puppies and kittens, right?
Oh, yeah. We talked about Dr. Connor with the
positives
on Friday about how she just completely lights up, and she is so happy when she has a puppy or kitten in her arms.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing. So, yes,
So then the whole other underlying factor here is mental illness, right? So as I said earlier, when you go into vet school or when you go to tech school, they don't screen you for mental illness, not that I'm aware of. So I think the real underlying factor here is that mental illness is a real disease.
Yep.
And people,
no matter
need to,
if you are a veterinarian, a homeless person, you know, anywhere in between, it is a real problem. And probably to your point, that's the real underlying problem here.
Yeah. I think some celebrities, so I think people have been shamed by it for many, many years, right? But there are some celebrities that are coming out, you know, and somewhat professing that they've had, you know, mental illness, and that's why they've done the things that they've done in their life, and they're somewhat giving guidance to the normal folk, right? But I do think that is truly the real underlying factor here, is that there's mental illness.
Okay.
And so finding an outlet for that. So finding, seeking therapy, understanding that it's normal. Majority of people have talked to somebody else about their problems. But you alone have to recognize that,
right,
and have to seek help for it.
So a couple of final comments from me. You know, Not One More Vet, it would be great if Not One More Veterinarian committed suicide. That's not realistic. It's going to happen for reasons that we're not going to understand.
Of course.
And it's not related probably to exactly what happened in that clinical practice. Could be contributing factors, but that's not everything. So kudos to them for what they're doing, but there needs to be a little more work, in my opinion.
They're really just creating a community.
Yeah. Okay. So. To have conversation and mm-hmm. offer resources.
Yep.
Realize social media is exactly like the 6 o'clock news. If it's boring, it's not going to be on there. They're going to sensationalize the story because they want to get a lot of people riled up and a lot of attention. And so we know this because we've had a couple of news stories that we've been involved with in the past, and what comes out on the news is completely not what the situation was. You mentioned shaming. I had written that down while you were talking earlier. You know, a veterinarian can get really upset for all these different reasons, mean clients, finances, problems at home, whether it's children, spouse, they didn't get to go on their favorite vacation, they've been sheltered at home with COVID. Very much, I was kind of likening that to a celebrity who gets shamed on social media, and you can either take it and, you know, feel horrible because of what people are saying, or the stories that I see are the celebrities who come back and say, I don't care that you're shaming me. I'm proud. This does not affect me. This does not bother me. So that's good self-care. That's self-awareness, and it's not letting people influence you. Yeah. But also, and then this is my final thought, it's the same thing if you're a 17, let's say, 18-year-old girl, and you start comparing yourself to these supermodels.
Yeah, it happens a lot in children as well.
And then all of a sudden, you don't have any self-worth because you can't compete or live up, you know, to what you think the expectations are for you. So anyway, yeah, that's kind of deep and a lot. We've gone a little bit long. But
it is deep. But I think really what's going to happen is it's going to spark more conversation, right? So we've already talked. We're going to talk about it with our staff.
Yeah. We will specifically use some of, you know, we will not call out our staff who had these interactions, but we will educate them during rounds, and when we have a staff meeting coming up, and yep. this will come, it has come a little more to the forefront of our thoughts mm-hmm. and actionable items that we need to address.
Yeah, so we're just going to continue to promote employee wellness, right? So we preach that healthy life. That healthy life is definitely human beings as well yep. as pets.
Yeah, so we're going to add the healthy self, happy life.
Yeah.
That'll be a whole nother, Jen and Rhonda, a whole nother marketing agenda, but it's going to be internal.
Sure.
So
hopefully, you know, teaching each other or teaching our staff to recognize things with themselves, but also somewhat teaching them to recognize it in their coworkers or their peers, to help offer that support and connectedness there. Because again, control, that's one of the biggest words in my opinion. It's control. You can't really control what the client says to you, but you control your reactions to it.
Right.
So anyways, to your point, yes, a very doom and gloom, but very,
it's reality. It's
a very
like
serious topic.
Coronavirus. We don't really,
it's so much in the news right now in our industry. So,
yeah. So before you sign us out, I will not be attending episode 101. We will have a special guest, and I would, definitely invite everyone to look forward to episode 101, when it comes out next week.
Yes. So excited. All right, guys, check in next week as we discuss more in the news and in our industry. Follow us on Instagram at People, Pets, and Vets. Check us out on the web at mygavet.com. Make sure to hit subscribe wherever you're listening to this podcast. And remember, without people, pets are simply animals.
Bye, everyone.